kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Just exhort you this evening in the Word, and I have as usual a title that we will talk about, and our title is Division Will Happen If You Walk With Jesus. Division will happen if you walk with Jesus. And I want us to start this off in Luke chapter 12, and we'll look at verses 49 to 53 of Luke chapter 12, verses 49 to 53. And here, in this context, it's headed in my Bible where Christ brings division. And he says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I come to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in a house will be divided, three against two, and two against three. Father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, and mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And it continues to go on there. So we see, with regard to the title that I've given today, division will happen if you walk with Jesus. And the Lord clearly reveals that it will happen. There will be those who don't any longer want to walk with you because you walk with Jesus. You see, the wonderful thing about all of this is that God will provide for that division. And he has a way in which there are times we have these divisions. And they can hurt. They can be confusing. They can be a time of searching and wondering why it's happened. But the Lord has very clearly shown that we walk with Jesus, there will be division. Why will there be? Because he had division also. We know that many of the disciples who walked with him, who could no longer walk with him. And he even turned to the 12 disciples and said, are you going to leave? So we see very clearly that he experienced it. The Apostle Paul, he experienced division, separation, and we're going to as well. But he clearly provides and he works for all of this, and he helps and he comforts, particularly when it does happen. And the signs are clearly showing that we are at the end because of the falling away. I'm reminded of my walk and the raising up of FGA as an assembly, how many we had over the years. We've certainly had more that's left than has stayed over the years. But I read such passages in the scriptures like this, and it comforts, it tells me that yes, our Lord experienced it, the early church did, and why should I or anyone else think it's so different? It sadly does happen. But we're going to see, I think, even more of this, and we are seeing more of this as we're coming to the closing days. Let's just remind ourselves in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 3 to 13. Mark 13, verses 3 to 13. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of all these things that will be fulfilled?" And Jesus answered them and began to say, "Take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows, but watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils and will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and the children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Well, of course, that is speaking there of when it's in the tribulation and the great tribulation. But we are so aware of what now is rising, the Antichrist system. Everything is rising, getting into place. So we are beginning to see these events starting to happen, maybe in just a small form, but we see these signs that are pointing to what's going to come greater and more severe. So we shouldn't be surprised if some no longer wish to walk with the Lord Jesus. And it clearly reveals there what will happen in the last days. There'll be terrible betrayal. People will be betraying one another. There will be betrayal in the house of God and amongst Christians. Our Lord had it. He was betrayed. And so it's going to happen. And these divisions do happen. Often division God uses, he can use this to get us to walk closer to him. So like everything that happens in our life, no matter how bad or devastating, God has a way in which he uses it to cause us to grow closer to him. And one of the things you will find when you walk with someone and you've shared in fellowship and they no longer fellowship or walk with you, God has a way of even drawing you closer to him and experiencing his love. And the thing that you experience with God is he is always, always faithful. He never lets you down. He can be trusted 101%. That is always often what is ministered to you when you find there are those who no longer wish to walk or fellowship or whatever it would be. You see, if people are not really walking with Jesus, they sometimes can actually be a hindrance. some who are not really walking with the Lord, or those in fellowship who are not really taking the walk, their commitment and everything serious with God, can be a hindrance. And we have seen in the past how God has removed some of those hindrances because they cause problems, or they're not willing to take up their cross and follow the Lord. They're not willing to get delivered, to die in those areas. And so we find that they sin badly with their tongue, or they do unkind things to a brother or sister. Well, God will only let that go for so long. And then he has to remove or put to one side for the purpose, because it can affect the body, his body. It's affecting holiness. It's affecting consecration. It's affecting unity and oneness, and God will fight for that. That is what he's redeemed us for. That is what he's baptized us into the body of Christ, for the very purpose of fellowship with him and each other. It is a holy fellowship. And we see God will move, because he will keep it holy and pure and righteous. Yes, our feelings and emotions can get hurt, but God is going to do what he sees fit, because it's about fellowship. It's about us walking with God, and God in our midst, having our fellowship with him. And that, of course, is what it's all about. What would be the point of coming together? What would be the point of listening to the word of God? What would be the point of meetings like this tonight if we don't come to meet first and foremost with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then with each other? There's no basis of fellowship otherwise. And so we do see how God can and does move in order to maintain this. And it can be heartbreaking. It can be hard to see division. And this is where we have to call on God's strength and love to help us. Because he knows what we go through. The Lord himself, he went through these things. And this is why God, you see, is teaching and he's training us, isn't he? And he's showing us the times now that we're living in. And we all know the times that we're living in. We hear it, we read it. It's all around us. And one of the things that we're finding with the spirit of this age, there's very few people now are reliable. Few people are consistent. Few people want to stay and be committed. And of course, it's the tragedy lies in marriages. It's sad that most marriages end in separation or divorce because they no longer want to be committed. They don't want to see it through. And so these are all the signs that Jesus said would happen. And sadly, they're brought in to the house of God as well. But you see, we're of another spirit. And God has placed his spirit within us. And he's told us, hasn't he, so many, many times that we're to endure, we're to stay with it to the end. Why are we to do that? Because the following day will probably be quite different. And you'll feel different. And the outlook will be different. So that's why God says that, because he doesn't want us making rash, quick decisions that we will regret otherwise. And we're so good at doing it when we lose our cool, or when our emotions take over, we react instead of acting. And so that is why he encourages us to stay with it. And as we read there, he that endures to the end shall be saved. So there is the principle. And we say, keep coming, keep listening, get the word into your heart, because this is how God is doing this. Hallelujah. Not by might, not by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. But God will strengthen us. He strengthened the Apostle Paul. They all forsook him at one time. But look how God strengthened him and encouraged him. You see, we have to learn and be trained in these times that we're living in. You see, this is all part of our training. I think we forget sometimes that, yes, it is fellowship. It is fellowship with God and each other. That's absolutely imperative, but it's also training. And God is training us. Like any army has to go through drill, constant training and training all the time. It keeps us on our toes. It keeps us alert. It keeps us discerning. And so when, unfortunately, at times these things happen, it doesn't take us by surprise, because we've all read it to you in Luke. In many ways, brothers and sisters, we bear the marks of God's sword. And what is the sword? It's the sword of the Spirit. And it's the Word of God. And we have seen how the Word of God divides. That sharp-edged sword. And some want the Word. They love the Word. They can't wait for the Word, to hear the Word, to get into the Word. And others are not so keen. And they're not so keen, of course, when it's got their name and address on, and it's addressing issues in one's life. But you see, the good news is that the Word of God should do that. That's what exactly it's for. And so we begin to find in time, as you walk with God, you welcome these deliverances. You welcome the Word, the sword, to cut, to divide these hindrances that are in our lives. There is something within you that wants this, because it helps to maintain your fellowship, your relationship with God and each other, and that you can function in the body, you see. And so we are in many ways bearing the marks of the sword or the Word of God. And one of them is division, where it divides. Whether those who once walked and embraced the Word of God don't anymore. What has done that? That is the Word of God that has divided. That's what you're seeing. As Jesus said, those who fight with the sword will die with the sword. Well, you can take that over to the spiritual. We have the Word of God. We have the sword of the Spirit. That is our warfare, our fighting. And there are times we bear the marks of it, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, those wickedness in high places. You know, one of the things that really spoke to me as I was preparing and looking on this, it was sort of saying to me, division is to bring you closer to him. So if division has happened, or you found a division in your life or whatever, remember this, it is to bring you closer to Jesus, and it will. When you get over the pain and the despondency of it, you will find that God is even closer to you, because he's proving he will never leave you or forsake you. He said, I will be with you always throughout eternity. No human being can say that. Only Almighty God can to us. So, what is the conclusion then to all of this? Well, let's look at some scriptures to clarify all of this. For example, let's look at Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So the Bible tells us we are to be about in fellowship with people who are wise. They're wise because they love the Lord and they love his word. And the warning is that we should not be those who are foolish, because they're going to be destroyed. And you don't want to be destroyed with them. And there are foolish people around. And you cannot spend too long with them. They can even be in your family. And unfortunately, you cannot have too much time with people like that, because it rubs off otherwise. We have to learn that God has placed separation on us. We are sanctified, set apart unto God. And God is very strong on this. Why? Because of his holiness. That is why. That's why we're not to walk in the world, because the world is in darkness and the world will cause you to stumble. That's its nature. That's why God's calling us out of the world, because it's in darkness and you can't walk in darkness. You are children of the light. If you start going back in darkness, you will stumble. Turn off all the lights at night in your house and you won't be able to walk very well, trust me. And you will soon stumble over something. And so it's exactly the same what we do. So this again is why God works in the manner and way that he does. What does it say in Proverbs 22? Let's look at Proverbs 22 and verses 24, 25. Proverbs 22, 24, 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Again, he says, don't be around people who are angry, critical, all those sort of people. Why? Because it soon begins to rub off on us. And then you go away out of that situation and you realize you have sinned with your tongue. Or you've gone along with things that you knew were wrong. We've all done it. I've done it. I've had to repent. And what is that teaching us? Not to get involved in that sort of thing, because it's a snare. What does Psalm 26 say? Psalm 26 and verses 4 to 8. Psalm 26 and verses 4 to 8. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with the hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. There we are. The psalmist is absolutely clear. He's saying, I prefer your presence. I prefer the house of God. I prefer to be with your people than to be amongst the world and amongst the wicked. I've nothing in common with them. And if you love Jesus and you walk with Jesus, at the end of the day, you haven't anything in common. Now, it doesn't mean say you ignore or shut the door on them. That's not what we're saying. But we have to be on our guards, brothers and sisters, with regards to this. And finally, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So you see, the Apostle Paul is exposing that some are still keeping company with the world and evil corruption. And he hits the nail on the head, what's causing the problem. And he says, because they do not awaken in righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. And that's the problem. It's the knowledge of God. It's not knowing what the word of God is saying in this situation. And he says, I speak this to your shame. So it goes back to what I was saying on Sunday. We need to know God's will. And we don't always do God's will because we don't know it yet. It's not gone from the head to the heart. And so it's very important here. And the apostle, he addresses this situation. And this is why there will be at times divisions. Divisions will happen if you walk with Jesus. But never fear. The Lord is not going to leave us on our own. He will not leave us destitute. And if we experience divisions, and we probably will, and we certainly have, then God, you will find, will move even closer into your life. And you will find that your full satisfaction comes by being first in his presence, walking in the courts of the Lord, and amongst his people with fellowship. That will be the first and foremost thing in your life. That is what God ultimately is doing, because this is where, as I finish, true fellowship, true unity and oneness comes. And the reason I have addressed this today is because this is about God's holiness. He is most holy. And he wants a holy meeting and a holy people, because he is a holy God. So let God be the master builder in our lives, both individually and corporately. Hallelujah.
Follow the master.
All lies down.